we all make choices. We talk a lot about the choices that we make in a lot of ways. The things that we've been studying in the adult class in Romans chapter 12 deal with how we're going to handle situations, the choices we're going to make. Some of them in the spur of the moment. Sometimes it happens when there is a lot going on. There's a lot of emotions that are at play based on what's going on. So, you know, we make choices day in and day out. We make choices. And over the course of our lifetime, I don't know how you could possibly calculate how many choices that we make. Of course, some of the choices that we make are very incidental. Am I going to chew a piece of gum now, or am I going to wait till later? You know, I'm going to wait and chew my gum a little later because I got a meeting coming up, and I'm going to chew my gum then because I'm going to be around other people. Well, that's a choice. That's a mindless choice. That's a choice that doesn't have a lot of consequences. It's a simple choice. But some simple choices, however, sometimes come with unwanted consequences. Should I tie my loose shoestring now, or should I wait? Well, I've got that meeting I've got to attend, and I've got to get my gum because I've got to start chewing my gum because I'm about to go into the meeting. And I trip, and I stumble, and I fall because I didn't take the time to tie my shoe. As I was reaching in to get my gum, I fell, and now it's painful, and I have a trip to the ER because I have to have some stitches because I scuffed myself all up. You see, a simple choice earlier led to a consequence later when I didn't take care of another choice. So, I mean, those types of situations, that's a very simple illustration. But, you know, a series of choices often lead and have connection as well, lead to other things. Well, what does the Bible say about choices and the choices that we make that do have eternal consequences? You know, in the Bible, there is a principle, you reap what you have sown. And while we know that this is a principle that is true by nature, by the physical world, the things around, that you reap what you've sown. If you sow a watermelon, you're going to reap a watermelon. We understand that. But the Bible takes those types of simple illustrations, physical illustrations, and makes spiritual teaching. So it is true from a spiritual standpoint as well that we will reap what we have sown. This comes from our scripture reading in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, which was read for us. And if you look at that passage with me a little bit closer and we make some comment, when we look at verse 7 and 8, whatever a man sows, that is what he's going to reap. And we also understand that if in verse 8, if we sow in the flesh, we're going to reap corruption, but if we sow in the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we see that the things that we do now have an eternal consequence, the choices that we make, the things that we do. If you sow sinful things, your life is full of things that are sinful in nature, you're going to reap corruption, eternal damnation. The Bible talks about that as condemnation, eternal punishment in hell. But if you sow the wonderful things, the good things of God, then he says, then you'll reap everlasting life, which is what we're here this morning. If you're here, I know that this is your desire. This is what you would hope to do, and that is to have eternal life. But what we have to realize is it's our eternal destination is going to be based on the things that we sow on a day-to-day basis. Every day we're sowing. The choice of the words that we use, the choice of the words that we won't use, the choice of the thoughts that we have, the choice to shut down thoughts that are inappropriate, the deeds that we choose to do and the things that we choose not to do. Whether it be the good things that we need to be doing, we need to choose to do those. We can be guilty of omitting or having an omission of things that we know to do good and it be wrong. So all of this is the choices that we have, the daily things that we're, if you look at the analogy there of reaping and sowing, it's the things that we're planting now, and what will it reap in the future, the things that we sow. Well, one thing is for certain, too, is that the things that we do, whether it be inaction or action, we can't blame that on our environment. We can't blame that on a society. We can't blame that on our parents. If you look at Romans chapter 2, where, again, it is found this idea of reaping what we have sown, in chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, the passage says here, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Now that's the same type of principle that is found. The things that you do, the works that you do, he says, that's going to have this bearing of what you're going to reap in the future. If it's a thing, and each one of us is going to receive according to our deeds. And so the things that we're talking about is that picture of the things that I'm doing, the things I'm choosing purposely not to do. If you look at Job chapter 4 and in verse 8, one of Job's friends, Eliphaz, this is what he says in Job chapter 4 and in verse 8. This is an observation that he made. Now, he's also operating under this idea that Job must have done something wrong. But just look at what he says there in verse 8, chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Now, sometimes in this life, it may be that there's a lot of evil that's not punished. We were talking about in the adult class how government, governing authorities is there to punish or avenge, to keep us safe, to punish the evildoer. There may be, you know, we always need to have this, what we just read in Romans chapter 2. There will come a time where there is an ultimate judgment and nobody's going to get away with anything. But the thing that Eliphaz says here is, what I have seen of those who plow iniquity, what do? Well, they sow trouble, and what do they reap? They reap the same. They reap trouble. And any of us that have been mischievous or we've gotten into trouble when we were younger or maybe even at times in our life now, we recognize that when you do things that are wrong, this idea of iniquity, lawlessness, and you sow trouble, you're always stirring things up, then he says you reap the same. And that's the reality of what we need to see and how we need to look at things. That it, again, if there's no punishment now in the here and now under the sun, there is going to be punishment by God for sure. So if your life at a young age is that of sowing your wild oats, you know, I'm going to sow my wild oats, and what you're going to reap is the trouble that goes along with that. And for certain, in the next life, if there has been no forgiveness by God for a lack of repenting of our deeds, reaping what we have sown is a good thing. If you've been cultivating good things, if you've been planting good things, if you've been sowing good habits, good behavior. But it's a terrifying thing if you've been sowing your wild oats of unrighteousness. And oftentimes, I think often of my youth and being young and how the things that we do in our youth, the things that we do, we've got young here that in this stage of their life, the things that they do bear some type of reaping maybe a little further down. And so it's a terrifying thing to think that we're sowing our wild oats of ungodliness. Sex before marriage is something that is very common in our culture, and yet it is wrong in the Word of God. And we need to be fearful of the things that we will reap because of that behavior. I think of the drug problem. Who was it that was just standing back here with us that was telling us? Yeah, Brother Crosland was just saying that businesses around here have just did away with the drug test because they can't find anybody that can pass the drug test. They're all on drugs, and so they just have to say, "Well, we can't find anybody to hire," and it's becoming a problem. It's not just in this state; it's an epidemic. And so, if I think about this idea of getting into these sinful and bad habits, and I'm just sowing my wild oats, and I'm getting involved in drugs or alcohol or maybe a sharp tongue or backbiting or gossip, whatever the sinful thing may be, we're going to reap what we have sown. And it may be in this life that there's consequences and punishment. There may be it may be something that is delayed. But disobedience to God is not going to reap eternal life any way we cut it or slice it. Only obedience to him is how we will inherit eternal life. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7 is another passage where this principle is found before we get into the main thoughts of the lesson. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, we have the northern kingdom here is under the microscope here of the prophet. In chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, they sow the wind, they reap the whirlwind. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Well, the northern kingdom has been sowing the wind, and metaphorically what they've been doing is they've been committing idolatry, they've been disobedient to Jehovah God, they've been chasing after vain things, empty things, and that's in the context of the charge against them. They've been sowing the wind, and God is going to punish them. He's going to send them off into Assyrian captivity. They're going to reap the whirlwind, and so they're going to be oppressed by a very cruel nation. And so God would allow that, and that would be God's form of punishing them, reaping what they have sown. You have sown the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the true and living God. And that is something that we need to keep in mind when we think about what we sow now. We have to bear in mind that there's going to come this day when we're going to be judged according to the deeds that we have done, good or bad, and it's going to be based on what we're reaping. Let's just look at a few examples here from the Bible of what we're talking about. Look at Luke chapter 16. This one came to mind when I was thinking about reaping what we have sown. We have Jesus telling the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and I want you to look at this from the way the Bible talks about the rich man, beginning in verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember, in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And I just want to kind of stop there in the story because it makes our point. The rich man in this life, the first few verses there says he fared sumptuously. Everything he did was grand and good and he had riches and he was comfortable. Lazarus, not that way. But notice in verse 16, he says, in this life you have received good things, but where was he after his death? He was in torment. And so again, there's the reaping what you have sown. He had fared sumptuously in this life, but what he reaped was eternal damnation of being tormented in Hades is where he is pictured in the story. And I also want to look at Joab. And Joab was David's commander, the commander of his army. He's a prominent character in the life of David. But I want you to see the same principle of reaping what you have sown. Look at 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings and chapter 2. And look with me at verse 5. David is about to pass away, and he's talking to Solomon, who's going to take his place as king. And here's what he says. Moreover, you know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, do according to your wisdom and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. David's commander, Joab had been his commander for years, years and years and years. And yet, Joab had killed his son Absalom. Joab had supported Adonijah's revolt or rebellion to take the throne. Joab had backed him. And then he says in this particular text that he has had Abner and Amasa were killed by Joab. And in 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 6, it tells us that David's words were an abomination to him at times, that Joab's words were. Well, immediately, on a day-to-day basis, Joab was doing these things and there was no consequence. But here David is about to die and he tells his son, do not forget what Joab has done. So what does Solomon do? We'll look over at chapter 2 and verse 32. So the Lord, well, what happens is Joab ends up fleeing and grabbing hold of the horns of the altar, and it says, so the Lord will return his blood on his head because he struck down two men more righteous and better than he and killed them with the sword, Abner, and he mentions Amasa and the commander of the army of Judah. Though my father David did not know it, their blood shall therefore return upon the heads of Joab and upon the head of the descendants forever, but upon David and his descendants, upon his house and his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord. And Benaiah the son of Joadiah went up and struck and killed him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. In other words, they wanted Joab to come out, and he wouldn't do it, if you read the context there. So they ended up just killing him right there where he was. My point is that the same thing is true. The reaping and the sowing and the reaping. Sometimes it may take a long time for what we have sown to come to fruition. Let me say that again. Sometimes it may take a long time for the things that we have done to come to fruition. It may be years. There is no immediate consequence to our actions. And so what I wanted to point out in thinking about this principle is in the fact that it may be further down the road that we actually reap what we've sown. Maybe it's in our youth. But I want you to think about what happens is there's no immediate consequence, no immediate maybe getting caught, no immediate shame. And so what do? Well, we got away with it. So what do? We slip deeper and deeper into the sin. We indulge more and more because there is no immediate consequence. But we understand that though we may see ourselves getting away with it, it may bear its fruit, the evil that we've done, further down the road. The same is true for the good that we do. And Brother Wallace read verse 9 as well in Galatians chapter 6, where it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, back in our scripture reading. So even the good, we may not see the immediate results, but don't grow weary in well-doing. It's what Jesus is talking about when he says, lay up treasures in heaven. Because there is a place where the thieves don't steal and the rust does not eat it away, because it's something that we've laid up that's in the care of God. Do you see that? So there may not be the immediate result of the good that we do. It will come for sure at a later time. So while we see that principle in the when we do that which is evil, it can come and bear fruit later in our life. We'll have more to say about that in just a minute. So our character today is a product of our past. For those that are young, the things that you're doing now, the good habits that you develop, becomes a product of who you become, who you are. It becomes a product of your character. So if you're in this mindset of sowing my wild oats, or this is my stage of youth, I'm just going to do these things. Well, again, this is when we develop our good habits, because our character today is the product of what we've been doing in the past. Can everybody see that? Who I've become and who I'm known as is based on the daily choices, the daily things that I've been doing. The choices, what we sow. And so our attitude and who we are is based on the choices that we made yesterday and the day before and the year before. And we may know someone, you think about this, you may know somebody who started drinking at a young age. And now they're in their 30s, and what are they suffering from? Liver's disease. They're passing away because they shot their liver, which is not something that I'm making up, because I think we've got an epidemic in our young people that have been binge drinking and all of this that we see on the 2020 and the different news things and reports about what's going on the college campuses. They're now suffering from and having the consequences of their actions further down the road. What they did years ago is now manifested in itself. The same is true with drugs. You think about the first cigarette that somebody smokes, and then they become addicted to nicotine. It's the same idea. Premarital sex, which leads to guilt and difficulties within a marriage. There's pornography addiction, and that started maybe at a young age where now it's out of control in an adult's life, and it's causing problems. See, what we did in the past, it then has a profound effect on our present. Does everybody see that? And it's based on this same principle. We're reaping what we have sown. The things that we did maybe years ago are manifesting itself now with the difficulties that we have. And another thing that's true is who we are today often reveals who we were yesterday, right? If we're looking at it from this standpoint of the things that I'm doing now is who I become, well, we look at who we are today, and we also can look back and see, well, this is because of the good habits that I developed, the good things that I've been doing, the things that I have abstained from, the things that I did. And you think about how important it is then as a parent to cultivate that child, to develop them to who they will become. And again, one of the first things I said is can't blame a product of our environment or society or our parents. You know, there's too many people that are members of the church that overcame all of that to be the kind of person that they are today, which leads to the other point that I want to make, and that our character today does not have to be the character of our future. Does everybody see that? In other words, you take somebody who comes to Christ with all of their past, and who they may became doesn't have to be from that day forward who they are, because of the choices that they will then make. And the wonderful thing is it goes back to where we started. The wonderful thing is that we do have a choice, and we can choose to change. It is a choice to change. The things that are wrong, it's a choice to not do them, to make a conscientious decision to not do whatever it may be. And we can change who we are today by the things that we sow today. Everybody see that? So here's my past. My past is bad, and here I stand, and now I'm someone that is a Christian, and I'm a babe in Christ, and who I become is going to be based on the things that I sow now. The same would be true. If I'm a Christian and I have fallen away, I've done things that are wrong, well, what do you do? Does that have to be who you are in the future? No. Because you repent and you change and you turn away from and you develop and cultivate in your life the new habits, the good habits. You put off the sinful things. You put on the things that are godly and right in Christ. What do? Well, you start moving yourself forward in the direction of who you are, who you will become, right? How many people do we know that their past life is nothing like who they are today? The wonderful thing is that we can choose to change. We can change who we are today by what we sow today for our future harvest. Do you see that? See, the things that I sow today is what I reap down the road. So I put away the drinking. And so now down the road, I have a healthier life. I'm not drawn to those things of addiction. I've broken free from that. And it's something I can speak of and say, it's something of my past. We plant today what we want to reap tomorrow. So I thought of Matthew chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. This is the parable of the sower in Matthew's account, and this is where the good seed fell on, and the seed is the Word of God. And it fell on an honest, and it fell on a good heart. But what it goes on to say is it says, it yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So that would be for you and I, open up our ears and listen to what Jesus is saying. So the seed, the Word of God, fell on that honest and good heart, Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. And when it fell on that good heart, it produced, it yielded, it reaped what it had sown. The Word of God then cultivated in that heart reaps the things. All of a sudden we're reaping 100-fold. We're producing good things, righteous things, some 60, some 30. That just shows the varying degrees that we've talked about in, again, the adult study of Romans, that we've talked about in each of us have different talents. We're all members of the same body, but we don't have all the same function. So you're going to have 100-fold, 60-fold, 30. But the thing is that did he say produces zero? No. If we don't have any product, then are we sowing anything that's then bearing a good fruit? And the answer would be, of course not. So we reap what we have sown. And so we want to look at our life today and the choices that we make. We want to be cultivating. You know, one of the things is we're coming up on the first of the year, and that's when everybody makes all of these resolutions. That's when they say that, you know, this is when I'm going to get it together. No, today is the day to determine that you're going to sow good today and reap the ultimate reward of eternal life. It's a natural, physical principle of life that was taken and in the Scriptures given such a spiritual, meaningful lesson for us today. To take that same principle of reaping what you've sown and then talk about us spiritually in the same way, whether it be from the evil standpoint or from the good. Now go back to Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 7 where we started. Let me make one other observation. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 7. And Brother Wallace, when he read this passage, he actually emphasized this particular point when he read it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Brethren, if a man is over..." Whoops, verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Will we fool God? And the answer is no. Do not be deceived. You're going to reap what you've sown. And he goes on in the things that we've talked about. There's no need to try to conceal something or hide something because God sees all. And don't be deceived into thinking that he doesn't see what's going on. We need to believe what the passage says about reaping what we have sown. And we need to believe that we're not the exception to that rule. That somehow I'm the exception to the things that we've been talking about. It's not going to apply to me because it absolutely applies to you. Who you are, the things that you're doing today, is the character that you become. It is who you will ultimately be. And all the changes that need to take place in life, because ultimately, what is it that we want to reap? Everlasting life. Well, that's only going to come through obedience to the will and word of God. Well, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and as I look around the room, I believe that most everybody is, if not everyone is. What we're talking about is having eternal life or not having eternal life. And that's based on how I live my life today. If there's something that is amiss or wrong in your life and it needs to be confessed, it needs to be turned from, it needs to be corrected. Maybe it's something that you need to take care of and pray to God and ask Him to forgive you in your closet. It's something of a private nature. If it's something of a public nature that we can pray with you and for you, then I would encourage you to do that. Don't wait to the new year to say, I'll get it together. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know if we'll make it to 2019. The Lord may come. We may die. There's a lot of things that can happen. And we need to be ready for that day to come. So think about what you're sowing, because it's going to determine what you're reaping, and ultimately your eternal destination will be dependent upon how you live your life and the choices that you make now. If we can help you in any way, we extend an invitation and we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.